Connecticut's unemployment rate dropped 0.2 points to 3.4% in August. That is according to the State Department of Labor. Patrick Flattery is the department's director of research. He says the largest job gains were in private education and information.
Healthcare and social assistance, local government, and wholesale trade also gained. The largest drop was in manufacturing, which is now just slightly below its December level after strong gains in the first 4 months of 2024.
Overall, the August report shows that there are about 13,000 more government and private sector jobs in Connecticut than at this time a year ago. Hi, you're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Bridgeport schools continue to struggle with chronic absenteeism. Governor Hochul says social media addiction is impacting classroom interactions. A proposal in Riverhead would drastically restrict property rentals, plus how Donald Trump could impact down ballot races in Connecticut. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Chronic absenteeism declined in most Connecticut school districts in the last school year, but some are still struggling to improve attendance. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports on the latest data from the State Department of Education.
The report released last month shows chronic absenteeism dropped by more than 2% in most statewide school districts compared with the previous 2 years. But it's increased in some districts, including Bridgeport, according to Hearst Connecticut Media. City education officials point to an increase in absenteeism during the last 6 weeks of the school year. They say they'll examine the trend to discover reasons for the uptick. State education officials credit the overall lower numbers to a program introduced in 2021 to help improve classroom attendance during the pandemic. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
A federal grand jury has charged 7 Connecticut residents with drug trafficking out of an East Haven garage. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports hundreds of thousands of pills were recovered.
The federal indictment alleges the group was making and selling counterfeit oxycodone, Xanax, and Adderall tablets that had been cut with ingredients like methamphetamine and xylazine. The pills were shipped through the U.S. Postal Service. The indictment says 45-year-old Keldon Hinton was renting a garage in East Haven where pill presses were recovered. One of the pressers was able to manufacture 100,000 pills per hour, according to U.S. Attorney for the District of Connecticut, Vanessa Roberts Avery. Avery says the ingredients and pill press parts were imported from China and other countries. She says drugs believed to be produced by Hinton were found on the scene of a recent fatal overdose in Connecticut. 3 of the people charged are detained while they await trial. 4 are out on bail. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Governor Hochul is reminding New York teachers and parents about the negative effects of cell phone use on student education. Hochul spoke at the New York State United Teachers Conference on Friday about how children's addiction to social media is negatively affecting their interactions in the classroom.
The teachers I met in person who said, "I'm in competition. I'm trying to teach. I'm trying to engage, make eye contact, have a relationship with these kids because that's how I can create a bond. And they're not even looking at me. I'm tired of this. This is getting too hard." Those are direct quotes from teachers who want to do their jobs.
Hochul calls for social media companies to restrict its algorithms so students are not bombarded with constant negative messaging and advertisements that increase their anxiety. Connecticut is a historically Democratic state, but could Trump enthusiasm this election have an impact on local races? That story and more are coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
fundraiser for Vice President Kamala Harris will be hosted by Governor Lamont in Salisbury, Connecticut, coming up soon, according to an invitation obtained by the Hartford Courant. Harris, however, will not be in attendance. The cheapest tickets are $1,000. The town of Oyster Bay has hired a company that'll deploy 6 Australian shepherds to chase geese off parks and town properties. The company owner told Newsday that the dogs are trained not to attack the geese, just to chase them away. Derby, Connecticut's Board of Education will consider a district-wide uniform for students. According to meeting minutes, a stricter dress code could be implemented as early as this January. Officials say the goal is to keep teachers focused on class and not dress coding kids. A controversial proposal in the town of Riverhead would restrict property rentals to family members only. Proponents say it's necessary for safety and to keep houses from being overcrowded. Ian Wilder with Long Island Housing Services told the town board this week that it would disproportionately hurt immigrants.
Those Polish immigrants met their housing needs by living with people they knew from their village, that was a friend of their cousin. They don't necessarily fall within this functional equivalent, which also does not affect anybody's health or safety.
If passed, anyone who violates the regulations could face fines or imprisonment. Back in 2021, a similar regulation failed after opponents said it violated housing discrimination laws. All of Connecticut's state Senate and House of Representatives seats are up for election this year. But could Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump impact the down-ballot races in this historically Democratic state? To find out, WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's Mark Pazniokas, who's done in-depth reporting on this. It's part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Now, President Trump is playing a role in this year's elections in Connecticut. How so? And is that why you decided to have a look at how Republican senators are trying to get reelected to the state Senate while having to deal with the issue that Donald Trump is not very popular in Connecticut?
Yes. I spent some time in Greenwich for a couple of reasons. One, Greenwich is such a symbolic place for a lot of reasons. It's one of the most affluent places in the United States. Historically, it has been a symbol of Eastern establishment Republicanism.
One of the marquee presidential families in the country.
Absolutely. Prescott Bush Sr. was a U.S. Senator. He is the father of George Herbert Walker Bush and grandfather of George W. Bush. So absolutely. The Greenwich has been associated with the Bushes and sort of a middle of the road form of Republican politics for a long time.
Now, you followed Ryan Fazio, who's a young Republican who holds a Senate seat from Greenwich right now and seeking re-election. Could you just give us a little bit about his background and what you found when you went out on stumping with him?
So Ryan Fazio got a little bit of national notice in 2021 when he flipped or recaptured a state Senate seat. Ryan Fazio is a former commodities trader who's now an investment advisor. That district in Greenwich, the state Senate district, it had been in Republican hands for really most of a century. The exception was in 1932. It turned out that even in Greenwich, Herbert Hoover and the Depression were really too much for voters to stick with the Republicans for 2 years. But in 2018, the first election after Donald Trump became president, a Democrat won that seat very narrowly, 50.4%. And she resigned. She was in the middle of an ugly divorce in 2021, and it was an open seat. And Ryan Fazio won in 2021 with 50.1%. So it doesn't get much closer than that. He was reelected to a full term in 2022, again, with 50.1%. So Greenwich is an interesting place to look at about the struggles Republicans have to keep on good terms with the Trump voters, but yet not be too closely associated with the former president, because that does not help you in a place like Greenwich, which, believe it or not, Greenwich now has more registered Democrats than Republicans. That's been true since 2021. On the other hand, the biggest block of voters are unaffiliated, and that's been the case since 2016. So clearly, if you are a Republican running there, you have to walk a really thin line.
I think one interaction that really illustrates this is when Fazio was door knocking, and there was a Ms. Vandermark that he knocked on her door. And just explain what happened in their interaction.
There was a woman standing at the end of her driveway, and she was very in a good mood. And she told Senator Fazio that her husband is certainly going to vote for him, and she might. And she made it clear that she was not a fan of President Trump. But she asked Senator Fazio, this was the day of the debate, and she asked, will you be watching the debate? And Fazio smiled and said, well, there's a Yankee game on. And in other words, he did not want to go anywhere near that topic. And this voter referred to Mr. Trump as the other one. Oh, yes, the other one is so divisive. And she was appreciative of Senator Fazio's description of his own approach to politics, which is trying to be bipartisan wherever possible.
Talking about being bipartisan, Nick Simmons, tell us a little bit about his background. He's Fazio's opponent in this race.
So Nick Simmons actually is a former Republican when he was young. He is, as I note in the story, he is the product of a mixed marriage in a political sense. His father was a moderate Republican, his mother a liberal Democrat. Nick Simmons' sister is Caroline Simmons, the mayor of Stanford, a Democrat. And Nick Simmons says he was a Republican until he left for college. He went to Yale. He had actually interned for Chris Shays, who was the last Republican to serve in Congress from Connecticut. He represented that end of Connecticut, the 4th congressional district. But it's presidential politics is easier for Nick Simmons. Democrats are not nervous about being associated with their party's leaders, either nationally or in the state. In fact, Simmons had worked 1 year in the Biden administration in the White House, and he was an aide to Governor Ned Lamont before and after that. He left the Lamont administration in January as the deputy chief of staff. And Ned Lamont is very popular in Greenwich. He lives there. His fiscal policies are more centrist, and it plays well down there. And so if you look at the websites of the two candidates, you see a big picture of Nick Simmons and Ned Lamont. And on Ryan Fazio's, you will see a picture of him with Bobby Valentine, who's a very popular major league ball player from Stanford, who actually ran against Nick Simmons' sister.
Yes, for mayor. Well, very interesting. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
Mark Pasniokas is Capitol Bureau Chief and co-founder of the Connecticut Mirror. I'm Ebon Udama.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And speaking of elections, we are asking our listeners to set the agenda for what issues candidates discuss. Working with our partners at America Amplified, we have a quick and easy form you can fill out to tell us what you'd like to know. We'll find out the answer and share it with you. So visit WSHU's website. That again is WSHU.org. You're going to want to scroll down a little bit, click on elections, and tell us how we can help. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I will speak to you tomorrow.